Can you hear me?
Yes.
Seems to have a lot of background. Not you, I was talking on the phone. I'll stop it and see if it can hear me, shall I?
Okay.
So there you go, we can just enjoy our beers now and have a podcast.
Righto. First things first.
So here we are in the Zortel pub.
Yes.
Just after lunch. And we should be working. No, sorry. It's afternoon.
It's late afternoon.
Late-ish afternoon. In the Zortel pub. And it's a lovely day, and the weather is quite remarkable.
It is, it's blowing a gale.
It's mental, you said earlier.
Yes, those were my exact words.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good podcast, wasn't it? I think we did well.
Yeah. Well, next time.
We'll talk about the weather.
Oh, I don't know.
We could do a pub crawl and go to the Zortel pub instead of the Zortel pub. If we're lucky, the RSL might be able, we could go there. Well, then you've got the pokey machines in the background. Or we could go over to Tim's bar. We could get everyone talking on it then.
Yes.
Have a friendly bunch over there. Looks like Obama might have won.
Yes. I saw some video of people cheering and clapping, and some of them were black, so they must have been Democrats.
Yes, well, it was blown across the finish line by Hurricane Sandy, wasn't he?
I don't know. It's
well, maybe Mitt Romney was blown away from the finish line.
They're always close run things because it's always a choice of two pretty identical people. So it's always going to be, you know, jolly close to 50-50.
So who would you have voted for?
The lesser of two evils.
So who would you have voted for?
I would have voted for Obama, but I would have felt bad about it.
But you feel bad about everything, Matthew. That's what you do, so it's all right.
Well, it's better in Australia because with the preferential voting system, you can vote for who you really want and
not waste your vote.
And also vote for the person you feel slightly ashamed about.
But you can make it clear to them that you're not voting for them.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing. You send a message. Mm. Yeah. You weren't my first choice, or my second, or my third.
You can be my second to last choice.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's exactly how it should be. It kind of amazes me that everyone doesn't adopt the preferential voting system.
Well, whenever I'm doing the how to vote things at the polling booth, I'm amazed by how many people complain about how unfair and complex it is. I don't understand that at all.
You must admit, it is unfair to stupid people.
I suppose they've got to count up to six.
Yeah, and that probably is pretty much the majority of the population, you know, is stupid people. So they could perhaps have a, you know, maybe some alternate vote. Well, they have got the above the line.
Yeah.
They can, instead of saying above the line, just say stupid people vote here.
Well, I suppose maybe prior to the election you could register as a stupid voter and get the simplified ballot paper.
Actually, even better still, they could probably rig up some kind of pokey machine which just stamps it for you. So you can slide your bit of paper in, you know, what do they call it, the voting thing?
Mm-hmm.
And you pull the lever. Oh, well, I'm showing my age here. You press the button.
Yes.
We don't know more one-armed bandits. And and it could just randomly dot all the ones you wanted or didn't want or whatever. And, you know, Bob's your uncle.
Hmm.
Pretty much the same result as what we get anyway. Yeah, anyway. Yeah. So there you go, that's the election. Any other news in Zortel?
Oh, well, since a year and a half ago when we last did a podcast.
When we
last released a podcast.
Well, this podcast will, you know, I'll have to wait on this one before I can release it, won't I? Because you've still got to edit the last 65 hours of us waffling while we're drunk.
I'm cutting it down. It's down to 64 hours now.
Oh, good, good.
I've got till the end of the year because it was our New Year special. So
it'll be like a historical special now when it comes out.
Yeah. But if I were to put it out in 2013, I'd feel a bit ashamed.
Yeah.
I can't let it go that long.
Well, it's dead in the water. I mean, it's still thriving. You know, we still have a vast crowd of people waiting to hear from us.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
So this is like a teaser, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a teaser podcast. And I imagine the sound quality is going to be equal, if not better, than that of Tinner.
Well,
hang on. There you go.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think with the weather and the recording device we've got here, I think we've pretty successfully duplicated the quality, the audio quality of Mumble.
Oh, like the excellent Google guy. What's he called? Who's the Google guy?
Luke.
Is that Luke who's working for Google now?
Yep.
So he was actually transmitting from a mountaintop in Switzerland or something, wasn't he? Whereas we're actually going one better. We're transmitting from a pub in Sawtell with huge, great plastic flapping things above our heads and a microphone made out of a flat piece of plastic and some cardboard,
mm-hmm.
a beer coaster actually, and an amplification with glasses.
Yep.
So, we're definitely improving upon the technology there. So. Oh, and trucks.
Buses.
Yeah, buses, I wasn't
thinking. That's quite a rarity. It's a school bus. So.
Oh, yeah, well, the kids will be in here soon after their after school beers, right when they ride in on the kangaroos. They're here already. Just keep your voice down. They've got tattoos. They might come over and beat it up.
Everybody's got tattoos.
Oh, have they? Oh,
yeah.
Once again, I'm showing my age. It was just sailors in my day.
I don't wish to know that.
I watch too much Popeye. I already told you this, but I can tell the rest of the internet now. My son left school yesterday.
Yay.
Finished his last exam. So he changed from being a schoolboy to being an unemployed youth. So don't quite know what that means. I think I have to start getting cranky with him now. You know, about not having a job and lazing around. All the things he normally does. But now I have to sort of kind of feel like I should be shooing him out of the house or something. Although, of course, rush hour.
Yes. It's a big shock to the system, that first job. Like, having to go somewhere and sit in the same place for a whole 8 hours at a time. That's
And then at the end of the 8 hours, realising you have to do it tomorrow and the next day. And oh my God, my dad's 40 and I've got to do it for at least that long. So I think it's only right that I flip out and quit my job and run off naked into the sunset just to give him hope.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. The youthful thing. When you. I remember that feeling when I got my first job and I was working in a fruit shop in Helston in Cornwall. And I only worked every Saturday. And I think one summer I was offered a summer job, so I worked all summer. And it just struck me around then, like at the end of the summer, I think I was finishing school, and they offered me the job as an assistant manager of the fruit shop. They were going to train me up to be an assistant manager.
Mm.
And everyone said to me, what a great opportunity. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh my God, this is my life. Reuben Hillier, assistant manager of the fruit shop.
Yep.
And so I turned them down, and I didn't quite run naked off into the sunset, but I did run off and go do other stuff. And
I think you do the right thing, because it can be quite a trap. Once you get to stuck in that rut for a certain amount of time, you end up believing that it's serious and you should care about whatever it is they're paying you to do, which is it's a seductive mirage.
It is, yeah. I think we all get stuck into it to some extent, even if we pretend we don't, because I know that I feel a bit stuck like that working as I do now. Except and instead of being a seductive mirage, it's more of a tar pit.
Yeah.
But that's a subject to another podcast. That is a mighty fine beer. I think we can pause the podcast now whilst I go to the bar and get another round.
Right, sir. Sounds good.
You can see if it worked. How do I stop it?
It's been switched off for the last 10 minutes.
I've been talking in this stilted voice going, I am presenting on the radio. No, it's still going.
Hey, you tried the drugs, now you gotta realize that you're not enough to be a celebrity. Like all the people on your TV, you could do with a nip and tuck and a major operation that could fuck you up. You're grafted onto the scene and implanted in a limousine. If you never wanna act your age, when you're always as young as you wanna feel. If you never wanna biodegrade, 6 to 8 weeks to completely heal. Here comes the numbness. Don't be afraid, it's just a taste of blood. Yes, you'll feel free with a little plastic surgery. All alone like a hit and run, and you're so pretty when you bite your tongue. Oh yeah, you're gonna be seen black and blue on the silver screen. If you never wanna act your age, when you're always as young as you wanna feel. Never wanna biodegrade, 6 to 8 weeks to completely heal.
All right, there you go. Round two, ding ding. Hopefully it's recording us.
So this app thing is, it's adware.
Yes, pretty much everything you see in Android, no, what's it called, Google Play?
Yeah.
I don't know about, actually I think it's fairly similar in the Apple Store thing, but they all seem to be adware, but then you can buy a key to upgrade it to get rid of the apps. So it's, you know, adware, shareware-y type stuff.
It's insidious. It's like we've gone back in time 15 years to
I wouldn't be at all surprised if there is actually a time machine built into these things, because they do seem to have every single thing available. So there's probably some facilities available in the hardware where you could actually design an app which actually is a time machine.
But I don't know. It feels a bit too much like real audio and WinZip and Nagware.
Or like Adware. Identica being IRC.
Yeah.
I mean, really, what's Identica is IRC with added pictures.
It doesn't have the immediacy of IRC. IRC makes me a bit stressed.
You're a bit scared of IRC, aren't you?
I am, because
I think we should move our little three-person IRC channel into the Drupal channel, Australia, because then we might actually, you know, talk to other people,
make some friends.
We'll get out there in the big wide world. I can see the value of that, but
I don't know. It just feels like it's demanding my attention. Whereas,
that's because you suffer from that thing where you feel like you need to, you know, respond to every single, you know, cough and stutter that you hear on the internet, which that way lies madness.
Yes, yes.
And it's too late, obviously, but. Cooper's beer is the best. I need to drink that cider.
It's pretty average cider.
You should put some Ribena in there.
No.
Yeah, a bit of right. That's what they used to do in the pubs in Wales when I used to work there. Snake bite.
Cider with Ribena.
Yeah. They called it snake bite. I think it was called. And it was. What was the cider? anyway, whatever. It was disgusting. It was very sweet and gross.
Blackcurrant means horrible cough medicine.
Yeah, it's lolly water, really, for children, isn't it? I mean, as soon as you start making things super sweet. I wish they could invent some sort of syrup you could pour into your drink that actually took out the sugar.
Well, so, yeah, something that just made it a bit more challenging.
I guess they have, and that's alcohol. You just put a bit of yeast in, and all the sugar
turns
gets and gets turned into alcohol. So I guess that's what a beer... My God, it's noisy today.
It's all buses.
I just turned around as I saw that, and I saw a little tiny moped go past. So it was, maybe that was just a very noisy moped. I think it was actually that old fellow I helped once when his moped outside your house.
I think they've got some urban planning guru coming in to give a talk sometime soon. It's part of the Our Living Coast program.
Oh yeah.
About livable places. And I have a feeling they must know where he is and trying to impress him with our wonderful public transport by just getting the one bus to go around the block.
What they need is some cardboard cut-out people so it actually has someone in the bus, because no one can afford the bus fare of $15 to go around the block. It's funny, now that I've got a microphone on the table, I suddenly appreciate how damn noisy it is in here today.
Yeah.
We have the horse races going on there on the television. One of the 18 television sets sprinkled around us, trying to distract us from conversing. Oh, this is radio. We should be drawing a picture.
Okay. No, they're not missing much.
No, not really, are they?
No, I'm mentally drained. I can't think of anything to talk about.
Fair enough.
I've been going mad with NaNoWriMo.
Oh yes. So, is your novel at the stage where it can be talked about, or is it still in a germination stage where it's very delicate and you shouldn't say anything? Is it? Can you tell me how many words you've written?
I think it's somewhere in the region of as many words as I should have written on day one, now that we're up to day seven.
1,648.
Maybe around the 2,000 mark.
Yeah, there you go, you're doing well. You're doing better than me. I think I've got up to about 500 words, of which, if I culled it down, I might get 20 words.
And you haven't published it on the internet. It was quite a
bit of work not to actually share it. Because the problem is that publishing anything on the internet is the death knell to continuing it, isn't it? Because I think as soon as you start... This is the thing. When you're creating something, as soon as you actually share with the world that you're creating something, everyone comes wading in with their advice.
Mm.
And you'll never actually create it. You'll just end up talking about it.
Yeah, I think there's two schools of thought when it comes to writing.
Mm-hmm.
I say from my
vast
experience. There's the Jack Kerouac first thought, best thought. Just sit in front of a typewriter and start mashing the keys, and trust that whatever comes out is going to be pure genius.
I think that's the idea behind NaNoWriMo.
Yeah. And there's the Douglas Adams school of thought where you agonise over every sentence until it's just right, and then you move on to the next sentence. And that's kind of the side of the argument that I fall on.
Yes, I can picture that. In which case, you should probably clean up your bathroom so you can go and get in the bath for a long time.
Yes.
Because that's what Douglas did. I think we've got the Sandy Hurricane coming down here.
Well, I nearly said it's like being on a bounty, but that's a bit of a tasteless reference now.
Because it sunk.
Yes.
Oh, yes, well. Yeah, well, as far as the... I was just going to say something more about the writing just then, but I've forgotten what it was I was going to say. Which is, fairly normal for me. Because I struggle with the writing thing too, and I think there's several different ways of approaching it. That's right, I was going to say, I was thinking about this because there are two ways, and the ways I'm thinking is either you're private when you write, and you very quietly get on with it and then produce your magnum opus and go and see a close friend or a publisher and hammer it out and improve it that way. Or you're very public on the internet and you blether away about what you're writing as you're writing it.
Mm.
And I've actually I read some Cory Doctorow books.
Yeah.
And he's of the school of talking endlessly about his interests.
Yeah.
And then you read his book and it's just like reading a rehash of what he's, you know, of Boing Boing.
Yeah.
You know, you're reading it and going, yeah, that's right. I remember you posting about this and I remember you talking about this and, oh, you're just using that idea that you got from here and making it this part of the story.
Yeah. That's the problem with over-familiarity. And that's...
Yes, well, because then you're reading it, you're going, I could write this, I could do this, I'd do that better than you. And that is the part of the problem. I mean, at the same time, like, I still enjoy it. And part of the thing about familiarity is you also enjoy it. I mean, like when you watch a movie and it's about your hometown, and you recognise the street that, you know, the hero is strutting down, and you go, oh, yes, I've walked down there, and you quite enjoy it. And it's the same in books, too. Sometimes you're reading a book, and they're exploring ideas that you've explored as well.
Yeah.
In your own way, and that's quite interesting. And it's got its pluses and minuses, but I think I prefer the surprise, you know, where you're surprised with the ideas, and they do come out of nowhere. And also, I think as a when you're creating something, when you're actually writing something, to or not necessarily writing, but to do it privately, you know, just quietly sort of mull things over and work out how you're going to express something. And if you're having conversations with people about it, you don't actually tell them it's about it, because they might give you advice, and as soon as someone gives you advice, it might be perfectly valid advice and you might try and follow it, but then you find that it actually stymies you. And I know that Bruce Chatwin's first novel was a victim of that.
Yeah.
He actually wrote this huge great novel about nomads, massive. It took him 12 years to write, and when he finally finished it, the publisher rejected it and no publisher would take it, and even Bruce Chatwin himself admitted it was a part of crap. And I don't know if that was his exact words, because he was, you know, a big queenie guy who didn't say things like that, but the reason he thought he failed, and I think he's right, is because he was very public about it. He told everyone, I'm writing a novel, it's going to be a great novel about nomads.
Yeah.
And so he told everyone all this, and he researched it, researched the absolute guts out of this subject, and talked to every Tom, Dick and Harry about it. They all gave him advice and said, oh, well, you should put a chapter in about this and a chapter about that and write this and don't forget this bit. And so it was no longer his novel, and therefore it couldn't come from the heart, and it wasn't his voice.
Mm.
And I think it's important to let something germinate inside of yourself and not out in the public, because things don't germinate in the light, they germinate in the dark.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that. I mean, to jump artistic forms, Brad Sucks, his new...
He does.
His new album came out a couple of days ago, and... He's one of those public creators,
mm-hmm.
And so he's on his website. He's had demos and, you know, invited people to remix his demos and worked through it in a very public way for years since the last. It's been a good few years since the last album came out, and I purposefully did not listen to any of that because I wanted to. I just have an affection for the form of the album, and I wanted to listen to the finished thing as a whole.
Mm.
And it's a bit early for me to actually pass judgment, but on the first couple of listens, I get the sense that it's a bit overwrought because of that very public gestation. I think it's.
I have no opinion. I listened to it as well when you were playing it yesterday, but I don't really have any opinion of it yet. I recognised it as Brad Suck straight away, and I thought, oh yeah. I think we'll pause it now. Goodbye. No, I don't know how to pause it. I do that thing again. I tap the telephone repeatedly until it stops. We were going so well as well.